This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everybody? It is Thursday night. Swerved ya. Thursday night special recording of Indie Alley, your place for independent comics and independent wrestling. We had a lot of amazing comics this week. I think I had one of the hardest times I've ever had paring them down to just three. But then the wrestling was a little slow until just last night. So we binged all our wrestling, and we're ready to go a day early because we got some shit going on this weekend because life happens. And to make it even more crazy, say hello, Fred.
Hello, Fred.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I'm losing my voice because I'm getting all upset about this 5G DC stuff, like all my favorite fanboys out there.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare bring that in here. I feel no. You know what? I laugh. I laugh and I cry no tears for them. They're just like WWE fans who cry when Brock Lesnar wins again. Do you expect something different? It's not going to change. There's image. There's aftershock. There's so much greatness out there that you could be picking up instead of reading a bad DC book. Move on.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. I've been yelling at him. You can tell in my voice. No, it's allergies. But we're gonna power through this. The show must go on.
Yes, the show must go on. I'm actually fine. He's gonna power through this. I'm okay. But yeah, though it is weird doing it one day early. Gotta admit, had to cram. Had to really push that wrestling into my system. Yeah. I think I might mix up some guys and call somebody someone they're not. Maybe I'll mispronounce a name like I've never done that before. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to do impersonations like, you come here on the day of my daughter's wedding asking me for a favor.
There you go.
Was that good?
That was good.
You're telling me to change the creative on Superman. I can't do that for you. You know, Brian Michael Bendis is Fugazi. Forget about it.
All right. I think we've gone far enough. Long enough. We should probably get into the three comics we picked this week. Like I said, it was hard, but we think these are three winners. We liked each one, and we think you should be reading them, buying them, supporting them, the whole works. The first one is Something is Killing the Children, number 2. Children are dying in the town of Archer's Peak, and the ones who survive bring back terrible stories. A strange woman named Erica Slaughter has appeared and says she fights these monsters behind the murders. But that can't possibly be true. Monsters aren't real, are they? Written by James Tynion IV. Illustrated by Weather Deladera, colors by Miguel Muerto, letters by Ann World Design. The main cover is Weather Deladera with colors by Giovanna Nero, and it's published by Boom Studios. Something is Killing the Children.
Okay, this issue is kind of like advancing the story to tell, you know, you get to know one of the families that lost somebody. I think her name was Sophie Maloney. And the reason why I know that is because her brother Tommy, he works at Apple Beams. It's not Applebee's, it's Apple Beams. Same colors, same designs. They even offer you the trio at the beginning, like for an appetizer. And, you know what? Since I am a little hungry, so what's in your trio, Andrew, if you're ordering an appetizer?
Applebee's is a hit and miss. I guess I'm going to go with
Well, you don't. It doesn't wings. Have to be like Applebee's. It's just like three things, like a trio.
Oh, okay. Just a simple trio. Let's go with some wings, some buffalo. I mean, some buffalo. Some potato skins and the spinach dip. There we go.
Okay, that's interesting. I would go with I would go with like the nachos, the buffalo wings, and maybe some mozzarella sticks or something. You know, you gotta have the mozzarella. I'm surprised you didn't say cheese.
Yes, well, I've given cheese up. So
because sometimes I wonder if you're part mouse with your cravings for cheese.
Oh my gosh, the whole family, we're cheese crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, since so it takes place at Apple Beams, and Erica Slaughter rents out, like, this booth. Basically, she says, I'll pay you $50 a day. Leave me alone. I can stay here, you know, camp out, campers. We both worked in restaurant business for, you know, parts of our lives and stuff. So campers. We all know about the campers. But here's my issue with the book. Let me just say, I love the book. But my issue is, how is it only the children that are missing or dying? What is the reason behind that? Like, you know, like the parents and stuff are alive. They're shook. The whole town's shook by it.
You're being a little, you know, that me want it now culture. Come on, it's the second issue. They're gonna explain.
Well, no. I'm just saying.
The monster's only hunting children.
Yeah, and I get that. And it kind of gets. After you read the solicit, I kind of feel like it's a little Scooby-Doo-ish now. Did you get that too? Like it's like the monsters are around you and stuff. It kind of makes me feel like Scooby-Doo. You know how Scooby-Doo like always the bad people, the evil people, were people you knew in the city.
I see what you mean.
Like you should be scared of like people and not monsters, and I feel like this book is heading that direction. But I love this book, and it's great storytelling. It's great, you know, that part I had a question about. Like I guess I'm just looking for a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I think you're looking in it too deep. I think they are monsters. I think they really are, but I could be wrong.
Do you think perhaps Erica Slaughter herself might be a monster? Because there's some panels with looking at her eyes. It's a little creepy.
Well, the end of the comic shows you there's a lot more to her than meets the eye.
That's true.
Something. So, yeah, there's something there. But I think she's a legit monster hunter. I'm going to say yes, she is. I'm going to go that it is supernatural, not Scooby-Doo. Like you, I like this book a lot, okay? So don't look at me like I'm not liking this book. But, you know, everyone was talking, this was better than issue one and blah, 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 blah. No, it wasn't. This was that necessary chapter that kind of laid the foundation, set out the first quest or the first objective or whatever you want to call it of this story. You know, the first objective is for her to find out where the monsters are, what kind of monsters, and she's kind of gathering information. There was a lot of dialogue, a lot of faces, you know, not a lot of action in the art. Some snappy dialogue, and there were some funny moments, like you said, in the Apple Beans and things like that. But it was not as good as number one. Now, I understand that you have to do that.
Right.
And if you're going to write a comic, I prefer this style versus some people do the other style where they give me all the information in comic book one and don't give me the action of comic book two. And I'm sorry, I may have already dropped out before we got to comic book two because I'm like, wow, that was kind of boring. I didn't enjoy that. So I'm kind of invested in the characters. I know that there's this horrible stuff that happened that you showed me and really grabbed me in one. And, you know, I get it. You pumped the brakes in two and you had to give me information. But it's still a very good comic book. And I still am, you know, I want to know what happened. And the ending gave me that little, you know, pow at the end to like, oh, okay. Wasn't expecting that. So, yeah, I still like it a lot. And it's a beautiful looking art.
Yeah, like this story, it kind of, this issue advanced the story. And what I mean by it is kind of like when you're watching Stranger Things and, you know, all the crazy stuff happens in one episode, then you get the episode with a little information, you get to meet the character, some of the families that are going through it and stuff. And that's what I really enjoyed about this. And I really like Tenyon's writing. So this is kind of something that excites me that, for somebody that's writing Batman, is also writing this, or he's going to be writing Batman, and people are going to hate on it, but this is the type of stuff I would like to see in Batman, is, you know, stuff advanced out, or how would you say, like, fleshed out?
Fleshed out. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's fleshing it out. He's telling the story. We have more of a background. I mean, everybody obviously is into Erica Slaughter. Uh-huh. You know, that first issue really popped her out there. I've already seen people cosplaying her. I've seen pictures on the internet of that. The character's popular. So now it's a tell us some more about Erica Slaughter. And, you know, I think we talked about this last week, how comic books are a chapter. And some chapters are a little slower than other chapters.
Right.
It doesn't make them bad chapters. It just is that some are slower. And you got to think of this all in one thing. And sometimes I tell people, if you can't, then maybe you should just trade weight. Right. And then you might love it more because it all makes sense in one big, you know, chunk.
One question before we move on. Do you feel like James Tynion is a fan of Gwen Stefani? Is that why Erica Slaughter looks like that?
Maybe. He would be old enough for him to have had a crush on Gwen Stefani when he was younger. I still think our main child character is James.
Yeah, it definitely is him. Yeah. That's for sure. So maybe we get some No Doubt.
Some No Doubt references.
Yeah.
I like the crack that these Applebee's are going to be closed down in a couple of years.
But come on, let's be honest. It's going to happen. I mean, they become the Bill Knapps of our generation.
Yes, you're exactly right. They're dying. But yeah, definitely get a hold of this book. We've said it a lot. Boom is really happening this year. And this is one of the reasons why. Jump on it. Probably one of the hottest indie books right now. Well, let's move on to number two. The second one is from Image. It's called Marked Number One, a brand new book. Double-sized for a single price. Their magic is channeled through their tattoos. The Marked may look like cool young influencers, but beneath the designer clothes, their bodies are tattooed with the magical glyphs of an ancient order that secretly protects the world against evil forces. With no new occult threats, the Marked use their tattooed powers solely for the pursuit of pleasure until a young woman called Liza creates a dangerous new form of hybrid sorcery. The party is over for the Marked. You'll believe in magic, terrifying, soul-destroying magic. Story by David Hine and Brian Hamberlin. Art by Brian Hamberlin. I said David Hamberlin, didn't I? Art by Brian Hamberlin. Colors by Gerard Van Dyke. Letters by Francis Takenaga. Published by Image. Marked.
Okay, Marked. When I read this, all I could think of is Hot Topic with hipsters with some ink. And don't get me wrong, that's just the characters themselves, but the characters are very real. It's a lot of kids you would see at a mall, if you have a mall, or I don't know what the hipster place, the sushi roll place or whatever.
But I know we're hipsters.
Well, I kind of do because Ferndale isn't far from me. So, you know, there's a lot of hipsters in the D. But I do get a feel of an X-Men feel from this book with the kids. Like the magic and the way that they can use their tattoos for certain things. God, that's what reminds me of the X-Men feel. But I really like this book. And at the beginning, what's the girl's name? Sasuke?
Yes, Sasuke.
She basically, her friend or her has like a Rorschach. How do you say the Rorschach test where she looks at the
Rorschach?
Yes, yeah. It's the voice right now. She's looking at a picture, and you're supposed to draw what you see. And she sees something that normal people don't see with their eyes. You know, she's looking deep into it, and she sees something. And then she gets to go to the school she thinks is an art school. And when she gets there, she's met by a Lovecraft, who is very much like Lurch from the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't say, "You rang." You know what? My voice is perfect for that. Let me try. "You rang." But yeah, and he's kind of like just the lights are on, but no one's home. Like he doesn't know how, like he just answers the door.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I'm enjoying this book. It felt kind of long, like it felt a little bigger. So I looked at the pages. There's actually 40 pages.
Yep, double sized.
of just art and beautiful art, in my opinion. The story's really great. And that's coming from, and I've said this quite a lot, from a guy that doesn't like magic. But if you do it correctly, like tattoos, which I have 14, no, 16 tattoos. I lost count. But, I'm kind of inked up myself. So, that connected me. So I was like, what if one of my tattoos did that, could do something like that? But, yeah, how'd you
Can it
feel
do
about
some
it?
kind of magic? I liked it a lot, but I'm going to correct you on one thing, first of all. It wasn't a Rorschach test. What I really loved about that little thing where she had to look at it and draw, it's a callback to something that someone from my generation, and you might remember it when I bring it up. Do you remember Cubby the Bear?
Oh, okay. I was thinking
It,
of the little turtle dude that you had to draw
yes.
too.
There was a little turtle, but the performer was Cubby the Bear, and they were in the back of the comics, and they said, "Can you draw me or draw me?" And then you send it off to the art school, and then they sent you their catalog and asked you for money to go to their art school.
Right.
But I just love that it was a callback to that because people from my generation are going to remember, hey, yeah, to think that maybe I could have been picked because I had special abilities of either. And so that was kind of a neat little throwback to an era that's gone. But yeah, there used to be a little thing in the back. You drew the character. It was a little bear and, like you said, a little
Yeah,
turtle later.
it was right next to where you could buy your sea monkeys and
Yes, your sea monkeys
X-ray vision glasses.
and Atlas. You could learn how to get pumped up like Jack Atlas, or is it Jake
No,
Atlas?
Jake Atlas is a wrestler.
Okay. But you know
He,
what I mean.
right?
The big bodybuilder guy. But so that's what that was. There was a lot of things I liked about this book, and I did some research looking up. First of all, I was fascinated by the names. So I'm like, okay, where are these people at? So I looked it up. It's the main character's a German name. So I'm trying to think, okay, they must be in Europe. And as the comic progressed, it was pretty much confirmed to me that they were in Europe somewhere. And then the way the faces were drawn, they looked really young, like you, I thought, like kids at the mall. But then they went bar hopping, and so they all had to be, and they even got carded, and they said, if you're not 21, you can't come in, which I don't think 21 is the legal age in Europe anyway, but that's what the comic sold to us, that it was 21 because it might be younger in Europe. So again, I'm thinking, okay, so these kids are older. They're not kids. They're young adults, and like you said, they're hipsters. They're actually, people have jobs more likely. So it kind of changed my frame from like these, like you said, almost like Harry Potter-ish high school kids going to some kind of sorcery school, or maybe even X-Men, like you said, going to a sorcery school, to like, okay, these are adults involved in something and training. And the way that they use the tattoos in the different ways to kind of frame that it's been around forever, like we've heard this trope before, but I like it. Like, okay, so there were tattooed people that helped in World War II. There were tattooed people that helped. Just different moments in history to defeat evil. I really liked that, and I got into it. And then the fact that the Americans took all the artifacts and have them hidden somewhere in some kind of like Stargate hidden base. We see that in movies a lot. So there's a lot of things you get out of movies, but I liked it. And the art is, like you said, the art is really, really cool. The tattoos on the bodies, they don't look like someone just put a sticker on somebody. They're drawn very well, the contour of the bodies, and you have the different tattoos and the lighting, the coloring. That's what impressed me the most. But the story is also very, very interesting and very good.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool concept. My voice is fried. But yeah, I'm into it, and for somebody that's not into like magic, like I mentioned again, it's just really cool to see, like tattooed kids or young adults doing these things, and the end, how the girl, or they're trying to recruit her to go work for the Pentagon and stuff. And I'm like, oh crap, they're gonna use like people with these tattoos to like run missions and stuff. And I was like, ain't that doesn't that make sense? Because, it's kind of what you expect from the government trying to advance certain things. So, I mean, it's a cool concept. I like this book. I can't wait to read issue two, but this one really was pretty awesome.
It's brutal though, the early part when our main character, something happens to her that's pretty traumatic. And, you know, you get it in the, like, the second page, and then we do the flashback to how they got to that point. But that's a pretty traumatic moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a cool comic, though. Definitely check it out. Yeah. A good first issue. Let's move on to Midnight Vista number 2. It's the new story of the century. Oliver Flores, the kid on the face of every milk carton in New Mexico, has been found. Recovering at the hospital, Oliver is finally able to reveal where he's been for the last 19 years. Along with his stepfather, he was abducted by aliens. And the only real problem with that is no one believes him. Not the detectives from his case, not the doctors who treat him, not even the biological dad. They're all convinced Oliver is suffering from massive trauma. Meanwhile, no one seems to notice the suspicious strangers in black trying to silence Oliver for good. Written by Elliot Rahal. Art by Clara Mirth. Colors by Mark Eglert. Letters by Taylor Esposito. Published by Aftershock Midnight Vista.
Okay, this book was my favorite of the week. And the reason why it was my favorite was because I definitely got like a unsolved mystery vibe from it, which I happened to watch a lot in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, all I needed was like Robert Stack's voice, like reading some of this dialogue in the beginning. I would have been like totally into it. But the beginning of the book, we kind of get like a flashback of Nomar, of what he's seen. And that page where he walks into Oliver with his head, like, taken off, like, severed, and his brain being probed, and I was like, oh, wow, this book is going one direction. But then when I read further into the book, and, you know, Oliver's realizing that people don't know who he is, or, like, he understands things, like, they basically want to commit Oliver because they think he's crazy. And then we get the aliens, which was very comical to me. What were their names? Michael Mann and Michael Manning?
Yeah. Mike Mann and Michael Manning, I think, right?
Yeah, very original. I thought that was pretty funny. I didn't see like what happened at the end coming. I thought, you know, Elliot got us in like Hot Lunch Special. He kind of swerved us. Like, remember when we kind of figured like we knew what was happening, but then when they went to the police station and everybody got shot up and things like that on there, he kind of did it with this book too, because I didn't see Mama coming out like that. but yeah, man, I really dig this book. I like Elliot's humor is great. There's a lot of humor, but I'm invested in Oliver's story, and I'm wondering why the humans, you know, around Oliver don't see these aliens, because they say, you know, next time we'll buy a round of baked potatoes, and no one's like, what the hell? You know, this is just a really fun book. What do you think about it, Andrew?
Yeah, exactly. You have to take the tone of the book. I made the mistake I told you reading it first. I was like, how do they not see that these guys are like not human? I mean, they're very obviously not human, and you're just going to hand a little kid to them, or someone who's been missing all this time to them. He's not really a little kid anymore, but still, I was like, that didn't make sense for me. So then I had to like step back, reread it, and understand the tone of the book. And the tone of the book is more like a Men in Black movie. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's a little bit goofy and funny, and you have to kind of like go with the wacky stuff, like, you know, the mom, the way she shows up at the end, like, who's going to just bust into a hospital and do that? She's like Sarah Connor and stuff, man, like from, you know.
with a 12-gauge pump action.
Yeah, just kind of like, it's like, boy, the cops in Albuquerque suck. You know, there's like, no, this is like a big story. Nobody's like stationed at the door. Yeah, so I had to step back and look at it from that point of view, and then kind of like, yeah, this is some kind of crazy, wacky stuff. You're supposed to laugh, and like you said, the aliens are experimenting on him, and the stepfather walks in and just sees some like wacky stuff. But the expression on the kid's face is all smiley. So, and then him watching his own unsolved murder video cassette from one of those shows that you know that they're always on TV, like the unsolved murder of, you know, so and so. There's a lot of humor in it. and I have no idea where it's going. Like, so are we going to end up in space fighting aliens? Are we going to, I mean, I just don't know where it's going. Is it the mission to save the stepdad? Is the stepdad even still around? We don't even necessarily know that for sure. But you know, his real dad's an asshole. I need to throw that out. The way his real dad just tossed him aside, you know, that was messed up. That was real messed up. So,
yeah, it's definitely, you know, he has a lacking, I'm trying to get over my voice, a relationship with his father, but it shows that he really cares about his stepdad. And he's wondering how come no one else believes him that he's still with the aliens. So I want to find out about that. Now, with his stepdad, or his actual birth father, when he was getting off the airplane, it seemed like he was in a daze. And I was like, is he just like, is he shocked? Or is something messing with his mind? Because a lot of the stuff that's happening throughout this book, with like the doctors and stuff, they just want to hand him over to these alien dudes, the men in black, that you're like, wait, is, you know, Oliver the only smart one here?
I think I'm not giving the real dad the benefit of the doubt. I think he was thinking, how am I going to get out of this? I don't want my real family to know. And then that we find out that when the boy disappeared, it was the real dad who blamed the stepdad for all this stuff.
Right.
So he blamed the stepdad, said the stepdad was horrible. And then when the son actually reappears, he doesn't want anything to do with him.
Right, because he said he couldn't pay for him or the test and things like that. And he basically said he was like, he doesn't want his new family to find out about it.
Yeah, that was such a bullshit move.
And it makes sense because, remember, he was hiding in the attic of his home and stuff, and his new wife was wondering what happened. But yeah, this definitely has like an 80s sci-fi movie feel. I totally get that. If this was rated B movie, I would watch the shit out of this. because, I mean, I'm telling you, like the aliens, and you give me aliens with this dialogue, and then you throw in like things from, you know, unsolved mysteries, things like that, things that happened during that time frame. I'm invested. And another good thing about this book is the art of the aliens and the facial expressions and things like that are really tremendous. I like them a lot, especially like the what's the guy, the detective, like his facial expressions are like money. I mean, this is like a lot of things, like when Oliver says stuff and he just gives him like this look like, what the fuck, kid? I totally, like, I laugh a lot, even though it's serious, but the looks, the art makes me want to laugh because I'm like, you know, that's how you know the book is like working. Like the artist and the writer are working so well with each other, like they can get their point across with just that.
Yeah, the artist does a great job of also catching the fact that a lot of these characters are people of color. We're in Albuquerque. It really hasn't been defined to me if they're indigenous or if they're Hispanic or what, but there's definitely, so the way they're drawn, you get a feeling different kind of people. There's different kind of people in this book, all different, you know, ethnicities, and they're drawn that way. And it's really cool. And the eyes, really, that's why I think you're noticing too. I think the eyes are really good.
Yeah.
If I were to say, like they pop out or they look surprised or they look, you know, suspicious. Good stuff. Yeah. Good faces.
Definitely good.
But definitely a fun book. I would get on it. It's a nice light read. This isn't, I guess I told you, you know, with Aftershock, you get in this loop where you expect everything to be scary and serious. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I wasn't expecting that in this book. So that's why it took me a minute to catch the tone.
Yeah, it's definitely like a lighthearted book. But I think it, because like the sci-fi and things like that, that's what draws me. I just want more alien books. So, and more Elliot Rahal. So, I mean.
Well, that's it for our comics this week. It's pretty simple, even though it was a busy week. We did knock it down to 3 because that's all we had time to read. quick week. But let's get ready to wrestle, nerds. What is up? And Joey has joined us to get into the wrestling portion of our show. Let's go ahead and jump right into what was started to be a slow week, but it picked up. The first promotion we're going to talk about is New Japan Wrestling.
October 21st. Joe, stop.
Yeah, you were rough on that one.
Let me try it again. Hold on. On October 21st, New Japan announced the establishment of a U.S.-based version of, what'd you say, like, I can't even say that word.
Subsidiary?
Right, subsidiary. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. And it's going to take place in Los Angeles. I think it's going to get a lot of eyes on the U.S. and try to grow the product here. So I think it's a great idea for them.
All right. Have you been watching any of the tag team?
I have watched it, but it's not my cup of tea. And now I need some tea. So
you get some tea and Joey will hit MLW.
Okay. MLW was in Mexico again at the Crash place. It was the Jimmy Havoc episode. And my favorite match was probably the last one. But that's only because I got to see Bestia's dad again. And he's like a hardcore legend there. And better than L.A. Park at hardcore stuff. So, Bestia came out after the match and helped his dad from Havoc. Mm-hmm. Havoc attacked Damien or Bestia's dad, and Bestia attacked. And we've only seen him twice. And it's their hometown, so they needed the pop.
Makes sense to me. All right. ROH is next. I tried to watch it. I swear to God, I tried. It's turned into almost like a highlight show. You know, like they show you a little clip of the match, and then they go back to the Kalani and the girl that's with him, and they just kind of say something, and then they move on to the next lot, and it's just so bad. I just couldn't. But I am excited that if you do have Honor Club, they're about to go on their UK tour. And in the past, that UK tour has been really good because they've used UK talent to bolster the roster while they're there. And they tend to really show out. They know that if they put a bad show in front of the British fans, that they're going to get, you know, booed out of the building. So they tend to put on good shows. So I'm looking forward to having some good ROH to talk about next week at least. That's what I got on that. So Impact is next.
For Impact, Joey Ryan signed a contract with them, and Bound for Glory was also this past weekend, and stop laughing at me. And Ace Austin won the X Division title. You can read this if you want.
Okay. Well,
that's all you got. That's all that really happened. Yeah. We'll get into some other Impact news later, but yeah, that's about it. Next, Joey's favorite, NWA.
Okay.
Yeah, straight out of Compton.
I thought I was going to AAA, but
It was a good show. It you know, I liked the fact that Storm and Drake came out and fought what is the name of those guys? Those brothers?
The Dawson Creek. I mean, yeah. The Dawson brothers.
Yeah, the Dawson brothers. Dawson Creek. That was a good match. I think the women's match got shortchanged. I'm digging the promos. Cabana was funny. They used the old talcum in the face, you know, baby powder in the face gimmick, but it is what it is. It's an hour. Yeah.
And Aaron Stevens says, don't look him in his eyes.
Don't.
That's
look
pretty
him
funny
in the
too.
Eyes. Yeah. Good stuff. Now we'll go on to AAA.
AAA had their show in LA?
No.
LA? No.
Nope.
New York?
No, New York, it was in Mexico.
It was in Mexico.
It was in Mexico. Well, okay, whatever.
What the heck?
Okay, so they had the show with Kenny in Phoenix, which was everybody was looking forward to. But first, we got to get to the best wrestler in the world. Vikingo was in the Battle Royal. I'm pretty sure it was a battle royal.
The battle royal? It seemed like there was like five battle royals, but go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. But he won it because he's the best in the world. And he took some bumps with Taurus. They just like kept slamming each other on the side of the ring.
Yeah.
Like he took a driver into the side of the ring. But he came on top because he's the best.
Not as brutal as this voice.
Okay. And then the Kenny Phoenix match. Kenny Omega won the title. I don't know how that's going to work because Kenny isn't really, he doesn't really show up in Mexico that much. It's only his like second show. He's already got a title.
Well, interestingly enough, on AEW, I don't know if it was Ross or Shivani said that he is going to be defending that title worldwide. They mentioned that he had just won that title and said that he was the champion.
Wow.
And they said that. I mean, on AEW, the announcers said that. It was probably Excalibur, now that I think about it. But
yeah.
So they're acknowledging the title, which is pretty interesting. So maybe they have an angle working with that. He didn't carry it out, but they talked about it. And they showed, well, he might be, I don't know. But they talked about it, and they showed him delivering some moves on Phoenix from the actual show, from the AAA show. They showed it on the AEW show. So that's pretty
cool. You know how I've been talking about Kalisto? they finally put him on the show, but they baited us. It wasn't the real him.
I told you.
He was wearing all of his stuff, and they replaced him.
Total AAA move. Total AAA move. They'll do that to you.
Or WWE with Sin Cara.
Okay. But they replaced him in it.
Just because you see it on the internet doesn't make it real.
It was on their AAA website.
Okay.
And they were showing highlights of Kalisto.
But well, they believe it. They do that stuff with L.A. Park and La Park all the time. They try to act like it's the same person sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not surprised.
Well.
All right. Well, the next thing is NXT. So anyone else can chime in with me because I know we all watched it. But I thought it was a really good show. Maybe not the best show, but I liked what they were doing. They went back to, let's see, they highlighted Swerve. They highlighted... who else did they highlight? They had three new guys that got a lot of play, and now I can't remember them.
Tegan Knox and Dakota Kai.
No, I was thinking of the guys. There was the guy in the cruiserweight match that challenged Leo Rush.
Oh, Hector Garza.
So Hector Garza got some play. He had a good match. And Swerve had a match. And your Cyberpunk Redneck guy had a match.
the dude that looks like he's from the Hillbilly comic book.
Yes, that guy. he's near Grimes. That's why. It's because they changed their damn names. It's not my fault. WWE changed their names, so I'm learning their names. That's old style NXT that we would tune in and be introduced to some new wrestlers. And they're building, so I kind of like that part.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I liked. What did you guys like?
The end.
I didn't, but go ahead, Fred.
What?
I mean, the end where Finn Balor turned on Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa was... the fanboys are getting excited, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't make... Makes sense. I mean, I guess they're doing it because the inner circle for AEW, but they've had the chance to do that on the main show with the Bullet Club with Gallows and Anderson and AJ. I don't understand using Finn Balor. Like, I'm guessing Vince McMahon was like, oh, we'll give those indie guys what they want. Basically all the Bullet Club is in AEW. So let's put the guy that started it, and he joins three dudes that were never in the Bullet Club and Adam Cole and start their own club. But Adam Cole wasn't even in the Bullet Club.
Yes, he was. Oh,
not when with Finn Balor.
I know.
He was after him.
Okay. Not even with AJ, right?
No, he was with AJ.
Yeah, he took over after AJ.
Okay.
Didn't he?
No.
Or no, Kenny. Kenny did.
Kenny kicked AJ out.
Yeah.
I don't hate the angle, but I think the angle's rushed. I told you I was trying to figure out why they're doing what they've been doing, like all these people coming out and challenging Cole. And then I was hearing a podcast and they talked about the next pay-per-view is War Games. So I'm thinking, okay, they're putting together a faction to fight Undisputed Era in War Games. So when they came out, I thought, okay, there it is. You know, this is a faction. And I thought, yeah, someone's going to turn on somebody, but I thought they would do it at the pay-per-view.
I know. That should have happened there.
Yeah,
Not then. It just made no, and then for him to pick Gargano randomly, I didn't make any sense. To me, it would have made more sense for him to go after Ciampa. I don't know. It just didn't.
Who do you think's going to be with Ciampa and Gargano to go against him?
I don't think that whole theme is even going to happen now. Dream. I think that just got blown up. I think you're going to get Finn Balor versus Gargano, and you're going to get Ciampa versus Cole. And there isn't going to be a War Games scenario with the Undisputed Era.
Oh, well.
I would rather have Ciampa versus Balor, personally.
Who knows? Maybe he requested Gargano. I mean, you have to do something with him. You can't put him in the title picture anymore. You've already used that up. Mm-hmm. And fighting... if he fought Strong, I wouldn't tune in to watch that for $1 million. So, no. I guess it is better him fighting Balor. But I felt that the angle, like you said, was rushed. I thought their hand was forced because they're trying to come up with something cool to combat the popularity of AEW, to get you to watch. So let's use Finn Balor. Because from a match standpoint, Gargano-Balor is going to be a great match.
Yes, for sure.
So there is going to be a good match to be seen on the pay-per-view. And you still have to get the network to watch that. So they're selling you to get the network. So I do understand. But I don't know, felt rushed. There was lots of things I didn't like that felt rushed. I felt the whole, maybe they're going to do War Games with the women. Because there's all these women just coming out, just beating the hell out of each other. So maybe they're all going to fight. Like teams of women are going to fight to prepare to see who gets the title shot at Baszler.
With like Io and Bianca and LeRae and maybe...
And Ripley.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot. And I thought Tegan Knox would have been in that mix too, but now her and Dakota Kai are doing something different with the tag team. But maybe that's what they're doing, but I'm trying to figure out. But I don't know. I mean, I'm really excited about their women's division. I don't think they're using Cole right. I know they're in kind of a pickle that they have Dream hurt. That does hurt them a little bit. So they're trying to push up Dijakovic and Keith Lee, but they just don't grab me.
And then they're pushing, now they're going to move Pete Dunne to Killian Dane when Damian Priest was just with him the week before. I mean, what the fuck? That's total Vince. Like, okay, we did this 1 week. It's like comic books, one shot, one shot, one shot. No continuity.
And you just reminded me. I felt like calling this episode The British Are Coming. There were Brits everywhere. I mean, they're bringing in, like, okay, what's the guy who was walking with Dunn? Now I forgot his name.
Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate. And they got him involved in an angle right away. And then in that cruiserweight match, they had a Brit. And then Tegan Knox wins a chance for the what's it called, even though she's Welsh, for the tag belt. So they're really bringing some NXT UK, Rhea Ripley. They're bringing a lot of NXT UK into NXT. It's interesting that they are really in a lot of the major feuds.
They're trying to get like the British viewers, but I don't think it's going to help
to combat against the UK AEW viewers that are watching AEW. Is that what you're saying? So,
but they're kind
no, I think they're just trying to raise their numbers. Like, let's see how many British people or, you know, European people like watch AEW. NXT over AEW, because I mean they're trying to find any way to get higher ratings, because they're what AEW is like basically double them every week. So
yeah,
but the reason behind that is that AEW gives you a product that you want to watch now. NXT, you're like, well, I have the network, I'll just watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, I described this show to somebody as a very good ROH show. That's what it felt like. Really good wrestling, but the stories were kind of lacking. And a lot of talent that's up and coming. But it didn't feel like must-watch big-time TV.
Right. And that's a good point, because when you watch wrestling, you started watching it because it's the male version of the soap opera. Mm-hmm. So if you have the story playing and stuff, and you give it week to week, people want to watch and see how it advances. That's why you watch AEW, because you want to see what Chris Jericho's going to do this week. Or you want to see, you know, is B. Priestley going to kick the shit out of Britt Baker again? Or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But when you turn on WWE product, you're like, oh, tonight it's Adam Cole versus The Dream. And then next week it's Adam Cole versus Matt Riddle. And what are you building towards? What's your big payoff? Like, there isn't one. You're just, like, basically saying, here's our roster. We have more than you. Look at all this talent. But you're not investing the fans in their time. And if I'm going to spend my time watching something that, you know, then I'm going to watch AEW because they're giving me what I want. And NXT, I'm seeing great talent and things like that. And don't get me wrong, this week I thought they were a little better than AEW, but the stories are way better in AEW.
Yeah, it's the lack of stories. It's not the lack of wrestling. The wrestling is top notch.
This Undisputed Era thing, I seen something on What Culture Wrestling, and they said that they could do like a Nation of Domination thing where Balor kind of pushes Cole down, like Balor might take over it,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of ruined the face Balor thing, because when he was on the main roster, he would just smile and lose every single time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it makes sense, because in Japan, they hated him, but he was amazing, so they would draw eyes. But
I like that. You know, the only problem with Undisputed Era is they don't have anybody for Fish and O'Reilly to really feud with.
I know.
So they're wasted. They don't have enough. They need to bring a tag team down. If there's talk about bringing, you know, the Kabuki Warriors down to help the women, they need to bring a male team down to give Undisputed Era a legitimate rival. Because the Sons of Forgotten Anarchy aren't going to cut it.
No.
And
bring back Heavy Machinery.
Because
something.
I'm pretty sure.
I was joking.
I'd even take them at this point.
I'm pretty sure everybody's forgotten about those guys, like in their name.
Just something. They need some kind of, to make them relevant. Them just coming out next to Cole is not helpful. They need to be relevant.
Do you think they're
going to
Breezango them?
Nah, it's not good enough. You mean, or make them like Breezango?
No, they're going to put them against Breezango.
Yeah, that won't cut it either. They need to be, they're supposed to be the New Age Outlaws of this group. They're supposed to be Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. They're supposed to be exciting, funny, but also winning big matches. That's to me. If that's what, to me, Undisputed Era, Shawn Michaels is down there now. They're trying to make them the new DX. So you need to get that tag team bouncing. Or
who's on 205 Live? Would the Lucha House Party cut it?
It could be if they'd actually treat the Lucha House Party with respect.
Like they pull them up and change their name.
Yeah, then maybe that might work. Really fast? Okay. What do you think of what they're doing with the cruiserweights? That's kind of your thing. You liked 205 Live. Are you okay that they've killed 205 Live and they've turned it into NXT cruiserweights? It's more exposure.
If they all come to NXT, is that what's happening? Because that would be better.
It seems like that's what's happening.
I don't want 205 Live by itself. Like, nobody would go to a show just to watch the Cruiserweights, except for me. But it needs something else to it. Like, they need Cruiserweight matches with the heavyweight matches, not just.
So kind of like what they're doing. Like I said, you know, you had a Cruiserweight match in this. And you had the champ come out there and do commentary. So it did bring some.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to do what WCW did to them.
Yeah, that's what I would want that thing. Like, right now, NXT, well, not this week, but last week, NXT or all the other weeks, it was just like heavyweight matches or and then the women's matches too.
Yeah.
But they need something else to win.
Well, I will give them credit. You need to play to your strength. Don't even do any tag matches. I mean, you don't have the tag team division to even compete with AEW.
No.
So play to your strength. If you need to put on two or three women's matches because you're loaded with women's talent, then do it. That's your strength. There's nothing wrong with that. So I don't try to force something that's not there.
They have the Forgotten Sons.
Oh, God.
Split them up.
If I never see the long-haired, scraggly-beard biker look again, I'll be happy. I'm done with that look. that's over.
The original tag team, what is it called? The what were the? It was like it was Buddy Murphy and one of the Forgotten Sons, but they, I mean, they could split them up. It works. Buddy Murphy's succeeding.
Yeah, but Buddy Murphy was good.
Well,
but yeah. So I don't know. That would be my only thing. Don't try to force it. But again, then you lose Fish and O'Reilly. You need to bring, you took up, you know, the Street Profits. Someone needs to come down. Someone you're not using. I wish it would be Gallows and Anderson. And they would be with Finn. But I think they're attached to AJ, so.
Yeah. Because them and AJ are like all best friends. But
yeah, because Anderson and Gallows, Fish and O'Reilly, I'd tune in for that.
I like how they think that they can hide the Forgotten Sons for, like, weeks, but then just pull them out of nowhere, like, people remember who they were.
Yeah, I unfortunately remember who they are, but it's not for a good reason. It's like a bad it's like a bad sandwich I had or something. Not good.
All right. So it gives you the shits?
Yeah, maybe. Have you watched the Forgotten Sons match from start to end? No fast forward?
No. I just watched.
I said,
This week I watched it because Swerve was in it.
And, oh, okay.
And that's the only reason why I watched it. But I did fast forward. And then when he hit this move where he jumped off the dude's chest and, you know, did that flip, I was like, oh, let me rewind that and see that again. You know, so.
Yeah. Very cool. There's definitely some. All right, let's move on to AEW.
Okay.
Also, I think it was a very good show. There's some things I'm going to complain about, but overall, I liked it a lot. What'd you guys think?
It was good. I liked how they used Jericho and the Inner Circle, that they didn't have to wrestle, but they were there, and they got their, you know, Jericho had a mic, so that's all he needed. Just give Jericho a mic. You don't have to. He doesn't have to wrestle every week. You know, he just he just talks trash and him and Cody, the way that they're just building this up is really good. I liked the focus on the tag teams this week. We got a lot of tag team, and it was done well. I didn't think that the Lucha Bros were gonna win, but now I'm wondering. I think the Lucha Bros are gonna win the tournament now.
You think so? You don't think this is the Scorpio Sky coming out party?
I love Scorpio Sky.
I don't think so, because I think they want to build it up that after Santana Ortiz beat the Young Bucks, that we can get Young Bucks Lucha Bros for the belts.
No, you would do Young Bucks versus SCU, LAX versus Lucha Bros because they beat. Because like, it used to be Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks.
Yeah.
So they had to put the Young
They got to be careful with that Young Bucks Lucha Bros. They've done it a lot.
Yeah.
I know. So they need to put.
That's why you have Santana Ortiz.
Against the Lucha Bros.
Lucha Bros.
That's what I said. But
you said against the Young Bucks.
No, you said against Young Bucks. I think you did.
I did?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's what threw us off, because you did say against Young Bucks.
Well, that's not what I meant. So edit that out.
But yeah, I see what you mean. So you want LAX versus Lucha Bros?
Yeah.
Because that's happened, but that's happened in places like Impact and other places that a lot of people may have not seen. So it'll be like on the big stage for the first time.
But so it doesn't that would happen be really a lot. Good. Not really a lot.
But they've had some fights.
Yeah.
And I have to say, after watching The Dark Order, is it Stu Grayson?
Stu Grayson. Because they even made a Dick Grayson joke. Good old JR made a Dick Grayson joke.
He should be making Seth Rollins jokes, but yeah, I mean, I think that guy's really good, man. He's really talented. He's kind of slowed down by the big fella. Yeah. But I like their gimmick is, you know, working with it. The more that I see the tag teams, whether it's the Best Friends or, you know, SCU, I'm digging the tag team. I don't care. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't need a bunch of one-on-ones. And they give you something good every week, no matter who it is. But I really would like eventually to see the Lucha Bros break up and go to singles, because
they don't really have to break up, though. Like, they can just, like, stop wrestling together for a little bit. But yeah, they're brothers, so they can get back.
But I want them to do
single stuff,
because the world needs to see Rey Fénix and Pentagon do their own thing, because those guys are amazing.
They should do a match against each other first.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see it. If you people, the match Joey was talking about, if try to look for that Omega Fénix match. It's incredible. If you want to know how good he is as a single wrestler, I mean, he matches Kenny move for move. I mean, it's an amazing match, and he could easily challenge for a title in AEW.
If you put them against each other, Pentagon and Fénix, on WrestleMania weekend, we saw they get really competitive together, and Pentagon's just yelling stuff at them the whole time.
Yeah, they treat each other like they treat their opponents.
Wow, I like it. I like it a lot.
Like, they're calling each other putos and shit like that.
Yes, like, very cool. You know, going back to the Dark Order, I just think it's quite the gimmick hasn't worked. Talent-wise, they definitely belong in this. In the AEW, they're as good as some of these other tag teams. And I almost felt like maybe AEW hedged their bet because they knew they weren't over and said, okay, let's have Jericho come out during their match just in case nobody's enjoying their match. So we'll distract people and, you know, we'll have Jericho and his boys come out. So it wasn't fair to them because everybody's got their head turned and not watching the great moves.
They pretty much did that with everybody.
Like, they didn't do it with Pentagon and Fénix.
Yeah, well, but like, I mean, like, they tried to set up a bunch of stuff to see how the crowd liked them. Like, they tried to see how they like Britt Baker and Nyla and Dark Order and the Jurassic Express.
Yep. Let's hit Britt Baker since you brought her up.
Okay.
Hometown match, so she had the pop for sure. And she looked better and more comfortable in the ring with Jamie Hayter, but I still am not seeing it. I don't think she's your champion. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing it. And if the rumors are true about Tessa Blanchard, AEW needs to go grab her. Throw the whole bank at her. All the extra money, just throw it at her and get her, because I don't see Britt Baker as your champion. What do you guys think?
Not yet.
She seems like an NXT project still, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not sold on her finisher.
Oh, yeah. It's a little silly. And she takes a while to get into her moves. Like, she seems indecisive. Like, they have to do one more run of the ropes almost before they actually do the move. Doesn't it seem like it? Like, they're, like, set to do a move, and they're like, oh, let's run the ropes one more time, because I'm not sure what I'm going to do right here.
Yeah.
And it's just like her timing is not right. And granted, maybe she's never worked with Hayter. But Hayter seemed to carry her, and Hayter kicked the crap out of her. Did a lot of moves on her.
So what you're suggesting is that Britt Baker should go to Stardom, get her ass kicked a little, and then come back.
That's not going to happen, but it probably wouldn't hurt. But I think she shouldn't be your top star. There's a lot to like about her, but I don't think she necessarily exudes charisma. She doesn't talk a lot. She's kind of, you know, very stoic. So you're not going to get that. But she's not tough like Tessa.
Right.
So you're not going to get that either. So
Tessa,
it's like,
versus Bea Priestley.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think Tessa is your champion, and then Bea Priestley will be your ultimate heel.
I was just going to say, I think that they need to invest in their women's division more. Whether it's just like giving them more time or more matches, because if they only give the fans one match a week, they're going to be like bathroom break or whatever, because it's not getting any better. So you have to invest.
You know what? I'm wondering who's in charge of it, because I've heard it's Omega. I've heard Christopher Daniels is working with them a little bit, but I don't think there's a woman working with them. And that's one thing that they say why the NXT women division is so good, is because they have a female who's really working with them. They have an excellent female wrestler. They have I can't remember her name right now. Sarah something? Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was an indie wrestler, and she was really good. And she's one who works with them. So maybe it's just they're not really booking the girls right. I don't know. But you're right. They need to fix that, because they're going to start catching backlash for that. I think they're looking at them in practice and say they're not ready for TV. And that's why they're not putting them on. But they can't go without it, because they're going to catch. They're too big. They're on a big cable network. They have to have women's matches. And maybe you, like I said, you got to skip over Britt and you get Bea Priestley in a thing with Riho, because Bea Priestley is in stardom. She knows how to fight small Asian wrestlers. She does it every week. You know what I mean? So she is going to work better with Riho, I think. Also, she's working with all these other wrestlers that don't speak English. So there's not that. She's used to that. People say that there was a language barrier between Riho and Britt Baker, and that's why they made mistakes. B's not going to have that problem. B's used to working with all those wrestlers. And I think that was going to give you that match of match where you're going to say, wow, Riho really is good.
And her boyfriend wrestles in Japan.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure she's there all the time too.
But I think Riho is in Japan right now, to be honest, because they're in the middle of their tag team tournament over there in Stardom. And Riho is with Star Kid, or what's her name? The girl that doesn't take her mask off and nobody knows her real age. They're teamed up. So she's over there fighting. Yeah, she's in the middle of a tournament over there.
With Star. Do you like how Taz was on Dark? I mean,
oh, I loved it.
Commentator, but
you didn't like it?
No, I did like it.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
Why is he just on Dark, though?
It was just a one-shot thing. He's not going to be on Dark again. It was a one-shot thing. He just did it for fun.
That's where he lives? He lives over there?
No, he lives in Jersey, right?
Probably, because that's ECW area.
But it's a Philadelphia show. So it's one of those things, you bring someone like him back for a Philly show, ECW. And man, he still has it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that he still has it. I bet you he got a lot of phone calls from people. Hey, you want to work? You want to come over here and do us for a... I mean, he got a lot of phone calls after that from other places looking for him. So, you know. Or some other things that I saw is I do not like... I already talked to your dad about it. I do not like at all the way they are booking Omega and Moxley. I'm at the point where I feel like just scrap Omega Moxley for Full Gear and make it Moxley Pac. Because
he's having more beef with Pac than he is with Omega right now?
Yeah, and it's on TV, and I'm invested, and they ended in a draw, so I want to see them fight again. I want to see them fight in a hardcore match, probably, so they can settle it, or a cage, or something crazy. And the Omega's kind of an afterthought. It's like
he's just there. He hasn't really ever been on the show. Like, because you said like the average person doesn't know him.
No.
Because
they don't.
He's not really doing anything.
I don't. And so why? I'm even willing to make a bet with you, Fred. I'll buy you your favorite trade paperback if I'm wrong, but I think that match is going to get canceled. I don't think they're going to fight each other. I think they're moving to a Moxley-Pac fight.
What does Omega do?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Who is supposed to fight Pac?
Nobody. Hangman.
Oh, Hangman? Oh, yeah.
Where's he been?
See, and now I'm going to tell you this little tidbit I teased earlier today. This is what happened when it went off the air. So it goes off the air. Pac gets up and starts beating the shit out of Moxley. He's beating him. He's going to hit him with a chair or something, right? Omega comes to the ring and saves Moxley, okay? Then walks around the ring, but never attacks Moxley. Pac walks up the ramp. Hangman comes out and attacks Pac, okay? So it's still a Pac Page thing going on, and it's still a Moxley Omega, but nobody saw that but the people in the stupid arena. So does that make sense to you booking wise? That's WWE booking. I'm sorry, I gotta call it out. I love AEW, but that's WWE style bullshit. You're not selling to us, the watching viewers, that feud. Instead, you're doing it off air. And on air, you're making me want to watch Pac and Moxley in the finals. I want to see them in a cage. I think it's bad booking. I don't know what's going on with that particular feud. Maybe Moxley and him don't like each other, Omega, and there really isn't going to be much from this fight. I'm trying to figure it out because maybe you guys can explain it to me, but if this was WWE and this had happened with, I don't know, like a AJ Styles Rollins thing, and we saw them fight other people, and then they finally like did something when we didn't watch it off the air, we'd be making so much fun of them, and Vince doesn't know what the hell he's doing and everything. Am I wrong on that, or am I saying that wrong?
No, that wouldn't happen.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. These are two of their biggest stars, and they're like you said, for they're kicking ass with Cody and Jericho.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they are hyping the Pac versus Moxley because it's been 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like building to a future story, but you're not done with the Omega thing. Why are you moving on to something else? But unless they're trying to create a triple threat match.
That's possible. I hate triple threat matches so much. Yeah.
Or, I mean, a fatal four-way, because then you add Hangman too.
Even worse, but yeah.
I don't even think that Kenny does amazing with like wrestlers in Japan and Mexico. Well, we just learned that.
His Janela match was pretty good, but what? It's Janela. Yeah. Janela's not going to fight him next.
Yeah, Janela just needed a match.
Yeah.
But
again, what would you guys want to see next week? Would you like to see them talking about the Omega Moxley angle, or do you want to see them deal with this Pac Moxley thing?
I'd want to see
a match between Pac and Moxley.
Yeah, Pac and Moxley, because it's hot right now.
Yeah, so that means then you turn around, they didn't do any build up, and then we're at a pay per view. Bam.
They don't need. Well, right now they're doing the Pac Moxley thing, so it wouldn't make sense to just bury that and do something with Omega and Mox so late. But if they would, why would they?
We
just
are two
throw
weeks
away?
Away from the pay per view.
Okay, so two maybe shows. Next week they do the Pac Mox thing, but then have Omega come out on air and maybe hit like Mox with like a V trigger or something.
Has the match been announced officially?
Yeah, but I didn't see any ads for it this week, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to rewatch the show after this and look for that. But I don't think I've been seeing any ads for Moxley because Omega. So like I said, I'm making that bet. I'm feeling comfortable about that.
Yeah, I know there was three matches, like Cody, Jericho. What was the other one?
Bucks and Bucks LAX.
And then it was Moxley and
Omega.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting. That was it. That's all I had about that. Oh, I know one last thing about AEW. Who's going to win the tag team belts? I want picks on record. SCU or Lucha Bros?
Lucha Bros,
Christopher Daniels shows up.
I'm going SCU.
SCU?
I am.
Do you have any reasons?
I'm telling you, it's all about Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio Sky is amazing.
They're going to put the belt on him so they have reasons to feature him. I'm telling you. That's my pick.
Does Christopher Daniels just do manager now? It's a Kazarian Scorpio Sky.
I hate
thing.
To see it, but could there be an angle where he turns on his boys?
I don't think so.
I hope not either. They're like New Day. I never want to see New Day fight each other. I don't want to see SCU fight each other. All right. We can move on to our goodbyes and our shout outs. And Fred, you got a bunch of shout outs this week?
I can't. I've done enough shouting out.
I thought you had somebody to thank. All right. So remember, you can always follow us at nerdylegion.com and subscribe and get all the podcasts that they drop, including ours. You can follow our page at Indie Alley. You can follow me at Real Comics. You can follow Fred at Comics Fred. Got it right. And you can follow our other show, Nerds From. And that's it for this week. And Joy should probably take us out since Fred can't talk anymore.
Okay. Just so you know, people, wrestling is real and people are fake. We out.
Later.
Where's my cough drops?